Well, I'm glad I have my full health ahead of me. Last time I got up and spoke, I know I was fighting with a cold and sickness, and I thought I would be fine. And this week, I kind of got nailed between the eyes and press on through. So this is a season to get anything that's going around, for sure. So bear with me as I cough loudly and sniffle and all that stuff. But I am excited to be here because things have been going on, and as Christmas approaches, our minds get racing at where our priorities lie. What do we want to do this year that's different? Oh, we look forward to the traditions that we get to have because we only get to do that at the Christmas time. Sometimes it's like the only time my wife cooks these types of cookies is at Christmas time, so can't wait for the peanut butter balls and the sugar cookies and the icing. And anyways, before I start drooling, there are things at Christmas just kind of stir up inside of us. Sometimes they may not be good things. Sometimes you lose somebody close to you during Christmas season, so it always gets attached that there's a sorrow, that there's sadness that's attached to Christmas. Friday at our youth event, we talked on how that we need to kind of erase sometimes what we grew up in. We need to erase a bit of what we were programmed of how we celebrate Christmas. And sometimes we need to just stop and start afresh and say, okay, you know what? What am I supposed to be doing? Because I grew up celebrating Christmas, probably the average Canadian would celebrate Christmas, that celebrates Christmas, they would celebrate it just, you do the Christmas Eve service, you open a gift on Christmas Eve possibly, and you go to your bed, and you get up in the morning, you open gifts because you have a tree under it, and so just something just kind of that. And that's how Christmas was celebrated. As I got a little bit older, I know we read the Christmas story a little bit more, but I grew up in a Christian family, but keep this in mind that both sides of my family have no real Christian lineage. So there was no Christ followers in my family, my mom's or dad's side, and my dad got saved when I was young. Okay? So when I was like 7 or something, or right around there. So when he got saved, my family, things starting to change. And so you got to evaluate how when you grow up, that's why you think and you do what you do, because that's how you were raised. And so Christmas to me was just normal. There was nothing different. Nothing that I would go to my friends in school and say, you know, what'd you do for Christmas? Oh, we did that. They're like, who does that? It's just, we did what everybody did. But I find there's key times in a person's life that I'm learning that there's a pause. And you reevaluate some of the things in life you do. For example, when my wife and I got married, we paused and we evaluated a lot of things that I grew up doing and what she grew up doing. And we had to come to an agreement of what we would do as a family, what we would do. And really, it wasn't too different. It wasn't that hard. But sometimes, if you have a person that believes in God, and another person coming into the marriage that doesn't believe in God, then you're going to have a mixed situation where traditions kind of clash a little bit. Well, what do we do? Well, I'll do what you do, or, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, okay. So you have to understand, what on earth is this Christmas to you? And sometimes we just realize that, hey, traditions are traditions, and they can be broken. It's okay. Because traditions started somewhere by someone, whether you, your parents, your grandparents, or something. And not all traditions are bad. It's fun to have things that you look forward to. You know, family get-togethers. Every Christmas Eve, we do this together. This is really good. So the big challenge I challenged the guys and the girls in youth group was this, that we have to look back at the first Christmas. And I love it. When you look at it and you realize that the first Christmas was not a traditional Christmas. You have a young lady who's pregnant and not married. Okay? That's not traditional. That's not okay. But God planned it out. And then you have Joseph, who gets called back to his home area and has to take her, and he is celebrating this whole first Christmas, and they're running around and they don't even have a nice place to be. And so there's just a lot of things people go, oh man, that's not a good first Christmas. But that's what we all look to as our Christmas. That we say, you know what, we're celebrating Christ's birth. And if we look to the first birth and see how untraditional and how crazy the story actually is, and take time to read it again and again, because allow God just to pop it out at you. The whole point is this. When we realize that the very first Christmas was crazy, was not your traditional Christmas, it's okay to reevaluate what you do, mix it up a little bit, and get on purpose of what we should be doing. And so what we're challenging our kids is, the month of December, the virtue is generosity. Sometimes, Steve knows because I drilled him all week, so we're good. Sometimes we forget that we have to keep giving gifts to people. Oh, we have to give. Okay, we got 5 more people, we got to give. We got to go to this store, we got to get all these things. And then we say, okay, is that going to be good? Okay, it's all based on money. So we only have about $20, so is that going to be okay to get them this? Probably would want. And all of a sudden we get done, we're like, whew, done, check. It's like, oh, there, Christmas shopping is over. And we missed a really big opportunity. And the opportunity, which we're learning all month, is generosity. Make somebody's day by giving something away. And so we're going to talk about the 4 things a person should not give up on. Okay? We're going to take a little look, a little Christmas, but the big thing we're going to do right now is we want to focus on families. Why families focus on what they focus on and how to break it. 4 things a person should not give up on, and the Bible talks specifically on these 4 things in my face. So if I took something like a big pile of mud, and I went over to this group, and I threw a whole bunch of mud, what noises would I hear? If I threw mud at all of you guys right now, what noises would I hear? Screaming, yelling. If I threw a big pile of mud at you guys, what would I hear from you? And if I threw mud this way, what would I hear? I like that group. When the Bible takes something and throws it in your face, not once and not twice, but again and again from the Old Testament and the New Testament, sometimes we need to make noises and say, okay, I get it, I get it, I saw it, and we need to pay attention to it. And so we're going to put a little picture up on the screen, and we're going to learn these 4 things just a little bit in a more fun fashion. So, throw it on the screen. There we go. All right, what does that remind you of? Right, we're going to call it Feuding Families for copyright reasons. And we're going to figure out the top 4 things. Again, these aren't biblical top 4 things. These are just top 4 things we need to learn and process today of what people should really not give up on. Now, because we've talked about throwing out the traditions, but what shouldn't we throw out? And then that's what our traditions should be. That's what we really hone in on, and that's what we should figure out. So let's take a look right now at number 4. And before we do, we're going to pray together because we really need God to kind of just hone in and just kind of pound on our hearts and say, yeah, you know what? These are 4 things that I need to get a hold of. So let's just join with me as I pray. Father, we are so grateful that you give us your word. You have the truth in there. Lord, when we read it, just allow it to pop out to us. Allow that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, just to put on our hearts of how, what are we supposed to do with the word that is presented to us? How does that apply to me? And what am I supposed to do? And give me the courage, the boldness, the strength to pursue it this Christmas, to make this Christmas count. Lord, may this Christmas be a defining moment in our lives where we threw away the stuff that we don't need to be clinging on to, and we get refocused because your word says this is what we need to be doing. Lord, help us in this area. We pray in your name. Amen. So, we're going to play a little game. Very simple. You shout out what you think number 4 is. Number 4 is obviously less, and number 1 is the most. So don't give me your Jesus answer, okay? Give me, you're thinking, okay, you know what, top 4, what are something that I shouldn't throw away? Something very important. Maybe once you get the first one, you get the next 3. But the first one, what is something very, very important that you shouldn't throw your focus and your attention to away? Give me some answers. Family. Specific. More specific. Children. Very good. So if I had a ding, ding, ding noise, it would look like this. Ding, ding, ding. You have 10 points, okay? Now, kids, some of us don't have kids. Some of us have enough kids for both of us. That's okay. Kids are amazing, and they change the whole focus of a person, and their whole attention, and their whole life gets changed. When you bring a kid into the realm, everything changes. You bring a kid into the house, even if it's somebody else's kid, the way you do life for a second changes. And so it's amazing that sometimes we have kids, and yet our focus after a while is like, okay, I did that, now I need to focus on me. And we lose that focus, we lose that attentiveness, and we realize when we are given the responsibility of raising a child, that is, like, if I could put responsibility in capital letters in your face, that's how big it is, that you are given responsibility, not somebody else. You are given responsibility. Until that child is old enough to then lead himself and then or herself and then have a family of their own and reproduce that way, that is. And you're not giving up on your child until they die. You're still there. But your roles and responsibilities change. But your main responsibility is so key. And it's like when they first start as a baby, it's massive. And it just slowly gets less. And sometimes it changes. It goes a little left, go a little right, and sometimes we can't figure out which way it goes. Because the kid's like, I need this, and you're so focused over here because you think you got this problem that they're yelling you at, and really, they just want somebody to discipline them. Just discipline them. Yeah, I know. Speaking out of my side of my mouth here. But I spent enough time with all your teenagers. No. And we got to talk. No, I'm just joking. Kids are amazing, and they are a priority. And if we give up on them, and giving up on them looks a lot of different ways, but we need to go, and I want you to read Ephesians 6:4. And that's throw it up on the screen as well. But Ephesians 6:4, if you got your Bibles, open them up. Because I know, that when God says something important, and then he says it again, and again, and again, and again, that it is worth our attention. Now, I know it's on the screen, you've read it 4 times already. So, follow along with me as we read this. Ready? Fathers, where am I now? Where am I? Okay, interesting. Yes, I have a new living as well. So mine's not quite new living, and that's newer living. So read this for sake of communion. It's close, but it's just weird. Okay, Ephesians 6:4, read with me. And now a word to your fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the law. The Lord. I said law. Okay, too close. This is something that God is talking about, that the kids need to be raised, and they're important. And now, bring them up with the discipline, keyword, and instruction approved by the Lord. Now we have to say, okay, what is the instruction? Well, there's different instructions throughout the Bible, but Deuteronomy 6:6-7 obviously talks about that in detail, specifically. And that's something we really focus our kids program on, our faith at home. We really want parents to get a hold of this, and so we as a church can really come alongside this. And it says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. And verse 7, repeat them again and again. And if we could put in and again and again and again and again and again and again, we would, to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are away. So is there any other places than home and away? You're either home or you're away. Okay? So that's kind of everywhere you are, you need to talk about them. When you are lying down, when you're getting up again. So is there another place? Is there a half between of like, that's only when you have back problems, right? So you're either lying down, you're getting up, or you're trying to get up. Now, the point of this is talking about, we need to realize that as parents, our responsibility, our instruction, what God says our instruction is to raise them when we're at home, when we're away, when we're driving down the road, when we're talking to them about school, when we're just having fun. Everything we do, and even not even say, okay? Your actions, they say, speak louder than words. So if we turn away on our kids, if we just say, you know what, my actions don't really matter, they'll get it one way or another. If we say, you know what, the school says it louder than me, I'm not smart enough, and the church knows more, trust me, there's a lot of excuses we could say. But the Bible says something different. The Bible says it is the parents' job to raise the kids. And sometimes families are not the same as what families used to be. The average typical family, the average marriage, is not the same as what it used to be. But that still doesn't change the rules. What God says is that it is still mom or dad, or mom and dad, the responsibility. If you adopt a child and you become the person responsible, that is your responsibility. God has given that child to you. Okay, we could talk all day, but the point is this. Some of us are sitting here and going, yep, child is out the door. What you're saying is, I wish I would have heard that 20 years ago. Okay, the point is this. God puts people in your life. God puts kids in your life, families in your life, maybe tomorrow. Maybe it hasn't even happened today, but it's going to happen tomorrow. Situation after situation. But if we know these things and we come alongside of families and come alongside of parents and we help them, people need information. They need to say, I can't figure this out. Ask a parent who has it figured out. Then ask them if they wrote a book about it. Then ask them if the book's free. Okay? Because this book has the answers. We just need to figure it out. We need to discover it together. And if number four says, if we give up on our kids, then obviously things aren't going to work well. And then the generation happens. Let's say, for example, my kids, I just say, you know what? Church is really important. It's my job. I need to really focus on that. I'm going to raise a lot of other kids, but I don't quite have time for my kids. Okay? And it's really hard saying that. So then I just say, I'm going to focus on that because I don't have time. I got to get these things done. And Maddie and Ty, 6 and 4, just grow up, realizing that the church is more important than they are. It's not so much what I said, because I could be saying all the right things, but they see that I just really don't care. Yeah, I say it, but I don't believe it. And that's what I'm talking about. If we turn our back, sometimes we can say we can tell them all the right things, or we feel like they have a really good education. But what happened? Or what's happening? The point is this. We need to be changed. And when we change, and we believe what God says, then things are different. And so with my dad, because sometimes the best illustration is obviously for me is just what's going on in my life. My dad changed the way Christmas was done. And he caught a glimpse of the reason for Christmas and broke from the mold of his family and said, yeah, you know what? I'm giving my heart to Christ. There was a division in his family. And even to this day, he tried to talk last Christmas and try to get one of his brother's wife, his brother and his wife out to something. And his brother's wife said, sure. And then his brother just said, you know what? His older brother said, nah, don't be pushing that stuff on me. I mean, this is brother to brother. And that's hard. And some of you are sitting in that family situation. You say, yeah, it is hard. But the point is, it shouldn't dictate your decision. It shouldn't dictate saying, yeah, it's going to be hard. So I'm going to choose to step back and not ruffle any feathers. Because following God is all about ruffling feathers. It's all about going against the grain. And it is worth it. That's the bottom line. Number four. So let's throw up the screen again. Number four. Kids are important. And we can talk and talk and talk and talk. Kids are important. We know that. And it is by our actions. And it is the instruction of the Lord that from the morning you get up until you go to bed. And it is exhausting. But it is worth it. And you guys could tell me way more than what I could tell you, some of you. It is worth it. Number three, what do you think number three would be, situationally? What do you think number three would be? What should a person not give up on? Marriage. Ding, ding, ding. Very good. 20 points. Marriage. Okay, let's put it this way. A marriage crumbles. What happens to the kids? No matter how good you raise your kids, it suffers. It's a lot of the words I could throw out. It hurts. Some of us get thrown into a situation where that's already occurring. Some of us are the reason it occurred. Some of us are the outcome, being the kids that happened. My mom and dad, through different reasons, when I went to Bible school, their marriage kind of crumbled. And I dealt with it. I realized it's, you know, I have a life, and I'm gonna focus on my wife, and she's gonna be priority. Sometimes things happen where we put all of our focus on our kids, number four, and then we realize that, oh yeah, we have a marriage, but sometimes we don't realize that we have a marriage until our kids are out of the house. And then you turn around and you look and you're going, who is that person? I'm sure I've seen her before. And you're going, yeah, that was a good amount of years that I just was like, you know, we're tag team and raising our kids, but we just lost touch that our marriage, God says, is more important than our kids. Now, it's not, it's more important. It's a, this is your job. This is your responsibility. But you have come together with your wife, and you have tag teamed this responsibility to raise your kids and love them dearly. But do not lose what you have with your wife or with your husband. Let's look to what God says in Ephesians 5:21, and we'll go right to 26, and we'll see what God's actually saying here. So let's read it out loud with me. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of his body, the church. He gave his life to be her Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. And you husbands must love your wives in the same love Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism in God's word. Now, people speak for weeks on this, and I have a few seconds that I want to touch on, and I'm going to narrow it in. But this is it. How many people, and it's almost a joke, have heard a happy equals a happy life? Okay? I've heard it. It's almost like my marriage counseling. It's like, learn this, memorize this, put your right hand on the Bible and repeat after me. The thing is this, that's half the equation. And it's not even about happiness. It's that when your wife feels she's part of your life and part of the bigger equation of what God has called you to be, then things go a whole lot better. Because they're on purpose, they're on task, they're going the way God wants it to go. God says, you know what? I have paired you up. I have set you here, and this is what I want you to do. You have gifts and abilities, and you have gifts and abilities, and you have strengths that this person's weak in, and you have strengths that this person's weak in, and when you come together, 2 is greater than 1 plus 1. Follow me on this. That if your marriage suffers, life raising your kids will be hindered. And when we're talking about Christmas and getting ready for Christmas, if the hustle and bustle is all focused on buying gifts, and we got to go to this Christmas play, and we got to go to this Christmas play, we can still do the exact same things, but it's all the focus of how you do it, right? So if you're going, oh, I just can't keep up, it's like you're trying to run and you're tripping and you're falling, but you're not quite fallen yet. Sometimes we run Christmas like that. That's how we run the Christmas season. We're just running, and we wonder why. Sometimes it's because the TV has a rope on us and is just pulling us. And we're just being dragged along because it's bad or worse to break the status quo. It's like, what do you mean you're not doing that? For example, Lindsay and I broke the mold last year. And Lindsay's sister has not made a decision for Christ yet. But she's, you know, picking Lindsay's brain a lot. And what we did last year, we said, you know what? We're not going to buy a bunch of gifts for our kids. They get enough from this person, this family member, and this family member. And really, it should go back to, you know what, it should meet a need. And if we're just giving, oh, thanks for that, and then it becomes what we saw that video of the kid going, I wanted a game system, and I wanted this. It's I want, not I need, right? And so we always, when people say, what do your kids need? We're like, that's right. And what do they need? And we're like, nothing. So just send them a thumbs up or something, you know what I mean? And people have a really hard time just saying, I can't just send nothing or a card or money. It's like, you know what? We'll figure it out. But we want at the very early age to teach our kids it's not about just accumulating a lot of stuff. Then we have to go to the store and buy a lot of batteries to work these things. And then I'm like, where are these toys in March? I don't know. So it's just, we're trying to break the mold and trying to figure out what's right and what should we keep and what shouldn't we keep. So last Christmas, we just made a decision, and I'm sure some of you have stories like this. We made a decision that we're going to spend Christmas with the money we would give them. We would go and go in a hotel, and we would go to Crystal Palace, and we would spend all day, like basically a day and a half of our complete undivided attention. No Christmas parties, no family together, just us and them. And we would just, you know, just talk about God and how Christmas is so important, and just hear from them and just spend the time, because Christmas has an opportunity to just present itself as a hustle and bustle type season. And so when it's all said and done, I've grown up where, man, that is the hardest part of the year. It's like, oh, you got all these toys and you play with them for at least five minutes. And then you stop and you're like, all the party's over, there's no more food, I can't move because I'm so full, and everybody's gone. It's just this dead silence, and you're sitting there, and you're actually sad. For a moment, you realize that you're like, this is probably the worst part of the year. It's just this dead silence and nothing. And I always just thought, hey, that's just part of Christmas. We go really high, and then just, whoomph, and you just drop off. And what I realized the more I read from God's word is that, you know what, every single day, my job as a dad is to get up in the morning until I go to bed, is to invest in my kids, invest in my marriage, and I know that I am tripping and falling all over the place, because I could do it a whole lot better. But when I'm least focused on what I'm supposed to be doing in that area, it helps me go, yeah, you know what, let's refocus. So when Lindsay and I took the kids to Moncton and did that time, we said, okay, that was good. We've heard, like, so what did you get for Christmas? And they're asking Maddie and Ty, what did you get for Christmas? And they're like, we got to go to Crystal Palace and spend time with Mom and Dad. And the way they said it, now keep in mind, they would be 5 and 3, okay? So they're not that old, but the way they said it was like, it was good. It was okay. Because I grew up going, I just got a lousy sweater with Rudolph's head, and if you push his nose, he played a song. And I was forced to wear it to the first day of school in January. Like, been there, okay? Didn't have many friends, okay? And so we just go through this thing where it was like, okay, how do the kids actually perceive this gift? Because we can sell it to them, and we can make it as fun as fun, but the whole point is that. So it was really sold to me that that was the right decision when, coming up a month ago, we asked Maddie and Ty, I said, what do you guys want to do for Christmas? And Maddie says, can we go back to Moncton and hang out and do that Crystal Palace thing? And we're like, you know, you don't get any gifts from us. I was like, yeah, we know. And is that what you want to do? And Maddie's like, yeah, that's what we want to do. And I, for a moment, I just looked at Lindsay and I said, you know what? For us, in that moment, that was the right decision we needed to make. And it may be a tradition that we do until they grow up, that we go to Moncton or wherever, and we just relax, and it's just us. So that Christmas season right there is just a quiet time where we just focus on it, and we raise them and just spend that time that we say, you know what? Mom and Dad have your attention, and it's our job to tell you these things. And I just say that, just say, you know what, the best example I can give to what you should do is only what I'm learning in myself. And sometimes we say, you know what, again, I don't have kids, but you know what, you have a marriage. Maybe you don't have a marriage. You're hopefully going to be someday. Okay? The thing is this, that you are surrounded by people that we can be an influence to, and we can change the way this goes. If we walked out of here, 200 people walked out of here and said, you know what, I'm going to take one example today. I'm going to try to think of one thing that I can change this Christmas. I'm going to put it more on task what God says. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a difference. And next Christmas comes around and you say, you know what? Huh, that actually was good. It wasn't as bad as I thought. It wasn't life-shattering that I put my kids first or I put my marriage first. Okay, that's what we're getting at. That, you know what, sometimes we just forget, we drop to the side. Sometimes we need to just pick it back up. Number two on the list. This is a little tricky, but I think you can get it. What is something a person should not give up on? That's debatable. What'd you say? Themselves. Yourself. Interesting. Some people say, okay, I don't agree with that. Some of you say, we'll wait until Jeff speaks and I'll agree or disagree. The reason I have met people, and sadly enough, they're my age, and they have given up on themselves. The effect of giving up on yourselves means you give up on your marriage, and you give up on your kids. Right? See how that works? And so when we give up on ourselves, we're just saying, you know what? I'm not gifted. I'm not like he is. I'm not like she is. You know what? Just God has given me a rotten deal, and I really am not thankful. And we just get this spirit of just dissatisfaction, and low self-worth, and it's a humbug. It's a Scrooge. And we all have seen Scrooge movies, whether it's the Flintstone or the real Scrooge movie, okay? And we realize that we do not want to be that person. Because if we ever had a second chance to switch our attitude, get out of the humbugs, we would love to change the way our marriage worked. We would love to change the way our relationship with our kids worked. And again, if you have kids that are 40 years old, things can change still, okay? God says until the end of the time, you have the responsibility over that. I was sitting, praying and working through this message and going through this, and I don't know if you've ever had this, but sometimes you just think differently. It's just like a light bulb hit. And for a moment, I just felt like, I don't even know how to explain this. If you've ever seen the end of time flash in front of your eyes, it's happened a few times when I fell off cliffs and jumped onto nails and stuff like that as a kid, and your whole life of all of 7 years have flashed in front of your eyes. But this time I was just reflecting and I was going, okay, God, where have you brought me from? Where am I now? Where am I going? And I just had this flash of, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to die. It could be on this stage right now. Hopefully not. Some people say, I'm going to die of embarrassment if I get up there. But the point is, if you knew that this is your end day coming up, you would be more willing to change what you're doing right now. And so the whole Scrooge premise of the movie is that, you know what? You need to change, because he flashes his future in front of him in the tombstone, the graveyard, and it freaks him out. And it motivates him to change. And he does like a 360. And I think that's really interesting, because I'm like, what is it going to take for Jeff McClain to be motivated to change myself? So that it affects my marriage, so that it affects my kids, so that it affects anybody that comes near me. So it affects the words that come out of my mouth, so it affects the thoughts that are in my head, so that it affects the heart that beats inside of me. What is it going to take? And I can look back, and we talked about having a defining moment. And big defining moment is found in Genesis 1:26. Let's see what this says. We're going to read to verse 31. Then God said, let us make people in our image, to be like ourselves. He's talking about the Trinity, okay? They will be masters over all life. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the livestock, wild animals, and small animals. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and birds and all the animals. And God said, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and birds for their food. And so it was. And then God looked over all he had made, and he said that it was excellent in every way. This all happened on the sixth day. God made man. And then he made man in his image. If that isn't something to give you a little bit of self-worth, then I don't know what it is. Because sometimes we realize we are nothing. And we just have this depression. And some of us just go through it a little bit longer. Some of us go through a little bit harder than others. The point is this. When we realize that we were created in God's image and we were a child of God, if that doesn't start building us back up, then I don't know what will. Because God loves us. He created us. He knows us. And so if we can't go to him and say, God, I'm having a tough time. Help me get refocused so I can be a better person, so I can do things better, what you've called me, you've gifted me. Let's step it up. The second thing, and we're going to finish up here with the number four in a second, is this. 1 Corinthians 12:18 talks about your gifting and how we're all gifted. Some of us believe that we do not have a gift that is worth contributing to the bigger body, to the world. Here's what God says. But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. Yep, that's it. I want to go back. That's fine. The point is this. When God made us, and when we believe in him, we say, you know, God, I am yours. I'm going to follow you. He gives us a spiritual gift that we need to contribute to this body, if this is our home body, this is our local body, because when you give of what you can give, you can make other people stay, you can help other people out. A car that has three tires, that isn't supposed to be meant to have three tires, okay? That is supposed to have four tires, does not run very well, does it? Kind of goes off course. A car with the front right and the front and the back rear, yeah, that makes sense. The rear tire off. So the two tires on the left side running down the road, how effective is that vehicle going to be? Not really good. It's going to make a lot of damage, right? If our body, which God calls the temple, if our body is a vehicle and God says, I have equipped it, sometimes we wish with air conditioning, but if I have equipped it with gifting, this is what your vehicle is. You are gifted with talents. You can speak well. You're so hospitable. You're courageous. Okay? But the spiritual gifts in particular, some people don't realize that the gift of hospitality is so crucial to this body. It what disarms people and allows people to say, you know what, I'm going to listen to you. And to be able to just say, you know what, God loves you. Because people are willing to hear that this Christmas season. People are going, you know what, what's this Christmas all about? I've heard it, but sometimes situations just happen and you can speak into people's lives. When we stop being stumbling blocks for God, he's going to use us so big. But we have to believe it first. And when we believe it, watch out. Because he's going to do mighty things. I spoke at a youth event September, and what I said is, I was the shyest, one of the shyest guys in my school. I'll share a story with you really quickly, just so you can stab me in the back another time, okay? You ready for this? When I was in kindergarten, primary, they took our class to jail, okay? We must have had a bad class, okay? And they wanted to show us the police station, and some of you may have heard the story. They took us to a police station. They said, you know what? We're going to show you this. We're going to teach you this so you know this is where all the bad guys go. Sounded great, okay? We went there, and I went in, and they said, okay, we're going to put you all in this jail cell. And I remember a buddy of mine went and climbed and lay down on the top bunk, and he relaxed really well, and I think he's going to jail. Okay, and anyways, they shut those doors, and those doors, they're scary. It's like, ching, 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 and at least this one was. I don't know if it wasn't oiled right or what. Anyways, they're just like pulling on it, and all your family was standing on the other side. So our whole class is standing here watching our moms and dads on the other side, and this bar going, ching, 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 ching. It made it about three quarters, and I just lost, and I cried, and I cried. Now, I didn't realize until about grade 12 that nobody else cried. And I was standing in the front, holding the bars as they were sliding me across the door. And so from when I graduated grade 12, they stood up and did a speech, and they referred to me in kindergarten that I was so shy and so scared and da-da-da-da-da. And anyways, I could have took that, and I could have said, you know what? Yeah, tear me down. I'm not brave. I'm not this. And all I realized is that, you know what? Things happen in the past. God gives us the strength. If God wants us here, he will equip us. He will put energy into us. He will build us. He will mold us. He will transform us to be what he called us to be. And so many of us just say, I don't believe in myself. I could never do that. If God's called you to do it, step out and let him do it. Bottom line. The last one is probably the most important, the one we hear the most. We should not give up on God. Right? Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Well done. Well done. Don gets 40 bonus points and wins the game. If we give up on God, then we are not putting ourselves on the right path of what we have been born and called to do. If we give up on God and we don't give God the credit and don't focus on God, our marriage isn't going to go the direction that it should go. We are not going to love our wives unconditionally. We're not going to love our wives or our husbands the way God has designed it. We're going to give up on our spouse because really it's not worth it because it's up to me. But no, it's up to God. And when we put God first and we don't give up on God, then where we are right now with the relationships we have right now, that's what we got to focus on. And our kids. If we don't give up on God and we focus on what God says, we will raise our kids the way God has asked us to raise our kids. No matter how hard it is, that's what we're going to do. And I'm just so excited that if we could change one thing today and walk out this door and say, you know what? For me, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to let that channel everything else. I'm going to focus on myself because I realize I need to step it up. I need to say, you know what, God? In Deuteronomy 6:5, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Everything you have in you, you need to give to God. Because, flip back to the screen, that if we love God with everything we have, he says, then you need to realize you need to be focused on who you are and what you need to do. And if you are in a marriage, then that needs to be God-focused. If you have kids, that needs to be God-focused. Okay? If you're surrounded by people in the church, you need to get involved in the church because that's what you're called to be part of the body. And we can go on and on and on. The challenge today is very simple. Hard to do, but very simple. Look at that list and say, God, if I'm supposed to love you with all my heart, all my soul, my mind, all my strength, then what today do I need to start changing? Is it my relationship with my kids? Is it my marriage? Is it myself? Is it just my whole relationship and focus on God needs to get shifted to the right 2 degrees so that I say, you know what, God? It's all about you. I can't change any of these three until my view changes on you, God. Help me to do that. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm just going to ask you just to, I'm going to pray for a few minutes. Yeah. You guys are going to love that. Take a moment to pray. And then I'm just going to pause. And I ask you to take a few seconds and just pause. 30 seconds. 30 seconds is going to feel like a long time. But it's not a long time when you're talking to God. And you say, God, just work something in me. Stir something up. I don't want us to leave so much without really processing that. We can come to church. We can go home. We can come to church. We can go home. But if we haven't taken a moment to say, you know what? Challenge me, Lord. No matter what the consequences or no matter what steers my way, challenge me. So let's pray. And then I'm going to just pause. Use that time to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then I'll close. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are so powerful that you have made us. You have created us. You numbered the hairs on our head. And yet, we sometimes feel that we need to have the reins. We need to have the control because we know best. Lord, as we just pause and we talk to you, Lord, just allow your spirit to come onto our hearts to allow us to realize we need to just step out in this one area and give it to you and say, help steer me this week so I can be a difference, so I can be used more by you, so I can be geared. That's the way you have made me. Lord, as we pause right now, Lord, just allow us to be open with you and honest with you because you want to hear us. God, you are so good. Lord, may it not stop here today. Lord, may, Lord, where people are at, may they continue talking to you. Just ask for strength, clarity, and wisdom how to take this next step. Lord, we can't give up on you. We can't give up, Lord, on our marriages. We can't give up on ourselves. We can't give up on our kids. Lord, that's only the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, Lord, that you've give us influence over. Just bless this day. Allow us to step up for you. Allow us to be encouraged. And you give us the truth and you give us the direction. We just got to search it out, find it, and ask you for the strength and clarity to go for it. We just pray all this in your name. Amen. Have a great day, guys.